Sarah Manning is going to be here, and she is going to, she comes from the office of the bishop down in Denver, and is going to talk and plan and discuss with you how the future of St. Luke is going to look like. That's going to be a really biggie. It's both with the congregation and then with a separate meeting later on that afternoon with the council. And for further questions, I guess you can ask our intrepid council president back there, whatever else might be on the schedule for that day. Also, there is a council meeting tomorrow night at 6:30. I know it says in here at 5:30 because that was what I knew when I finalized the bulletin, but it has been moved to 6:30 by now. Let's see, you have the announcement about the backpacks that the women's organization is sponsoring. Are there any other announcements that need to be made for the good of the body of Christ, the church? You have one.
Good morning.
Good morning.
God has blessed me as a gardener, so I brought some corn. And I'd like you to take some home for yourself and also to take some and give it to those who maybe can't get to church or your neighbor that can't get out or something like that. So please share. So at the end of the morning, right after church service, I hope there's no corn left and everything goes to a good cause, whether it's your stomach or your friends. Thank you.
Thank you. I asked him this morning if this was like the Lake Wobegon. You know, no one ever locks their car unless it is zucchini season. And, you know, then people are afraid that the zucchini gets left there in the passenger seat. But this is corn. This is not zucchini. Let's see. Any other announcements? As you may notice, Julia is on vacation this weekend, so she has pre-recorded the music, so we better do what she pre-recorded. Let's gather our hearts and our minds to worship God. Will you please rise? Abounding in steadfast love toward us, healing the sick and raising the dead, showering us with every good gift.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Just and gracious God, we come to you for healing and life. Our sins hurt others and diminish us. We confess them to you. Our lives bear the scars of sin. We bring these also to you. Show us your mercy, O God. Bind up our wounds, forgive us our sins, and free us to love for the sake of Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. The Apostle Paul assures us when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ, nailing the record of our sins to the cross. Jesus says to you, your sins are forgiven. Be at peace and tell everyone how much God has done for you.
Amen.
Hymn 522. Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Son came down from heaven to be the true bread that gives life to the world. Give us this bread always, that he may live in us and we in him, and that strengthened by this food, we may live as his body in the world, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
Today's first reading comes from the 19th chapter of 1 Kings, beginning with the 4th verse. Elijah went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up, ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of the food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'll say Psalm 34, verses 1 through 8 responsibly today. I will bless the Lord at all times, and praise, O God, shall ever be in my mouth.
I will glory in the Lord. Let the lowly hear and rejoice.
Proclaim with me the greatness of the Lord. Let us exalt God's name together.
I sought the Lord who answered me and delivered me from all my terrors.
Look upon the Lord and be radiant. Let not your faces be ashamed.
I called in my affliction, and the Lord heard me and saved me from all my troubles.
The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear the Lord and delivers them.
Haste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are they who take refuge in God.
Today's second reading comes from the fourth chapter of Ephesians, beginning with the 25th verse. So then, putting away falsehood, let all who speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, for which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger, wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus Christ, according to St. John, the sixth chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the crowd, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Then the Jews began to complain about him, because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They were saying, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph? Whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up to the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Let's see, do we have any children who want to come up here? No? All right. There is no compulsion at all. Let's just continue with the rest. So will you pray with me? Oops. May God grant that only the truth will be spoken here, and only the truth will be heard. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. By the time that the prophet Elijah bursts on the scene, the people of Israel have been through a lot. Leaving Egypt on the promise of a land flowing with milk and honey, They exchanged the flesh parts of the captives for a 40-year diet of quail and manna and wilderness wanderings. When they finally come to their promised land, it isn't flowing with milk and honey, but teeming with people instead, which tends to be a bit of an issue when you want to move in. It took some time, a few wild battles, and some unconventional help from a local prostitute named Rahab, until eventually the children and the children's children of the former slaves got to move into the land. Which, however, was when a whole set of other problems started. "We want a king," they whined and complained. "Everybody else has a king. Why can't we?" "Because God is your king," Joshua and Caleb told them patiently. "You don't need a king. We have a sovereign God, and we all are God's children and servants." But their whining, and you might remember they practiced that for a long time when they were in the wilderness, their whining got louder and louder and their demands more insistent. So finally, the leaders and God gave in and gave up and gave the people their king. His name was Saul. Now today, I think Saul would be diagnosed as bipolar and placed on medication, which would allow him to be a perfectly good king. Back then, Saul's moodiness made life for his servants very difficult. So Saul is replaced by David, and then by his son Solomon. But when Solomon dies, his son can't sort out the succession, and the nation splits in two. 50 years later, when Ahab comes to power in the northern kingdom of Israel, he is married to a queen from Phoenicia, who doesn't share his Hebrew religion. And Ahab, who has his hands full governing a country, lets his wife practice and promote the fertility cult that she has grown up with. 8,000 priests of Baal she is said to have imported into Israel. And while we can assume that that number is a bit overstated, we know that Israel's God was getting out-worshipped and out-promoted by Jezebel's fertility priests. "This cannot and this must not stand," is how Elijah bursts on the scene, looking a little bit like Gandalf the Grey on the bridge to Moria. And he announces a drought that would still last until God told him otherwise. There is nothing more ironic than showing off fertility priests by prompting a drought, is there? But when you do go and live during, where do you go and live during that drought? Especially if you are the one that the king and the people blame for it. Elijah flees to a brook by the name of Kerith, where ravens bring him bread at dawn and bread at dusk again, and he can drink water from the brook. Now, I personally don't have much of a problem spending time alone and in silence, but I do so when it's on my own choosing, and I can end it at any given time. Elijah, on the other hand, is stuck there at the brook. No books, no movies, no internet, no cell phone reception. The ravens come and go as promised, but as far as conversation partners go, they are lacking. It is hot during the day, freezing in the nighttime, and all Elijah has for company is the memory of God's call on him to be God's prophet. Can you imagine? If ever there was a table of discipline where all you were and all you had was required to keep your mind and keep your faith, it is this. Elijah at the brook called Kerith. where God sends him ravens to feed him every morning and every night. But then the brook dries out. It's a drought, after all. And Elijah has to go north, out of the country, to a widow in Tyre. The widow doesn't quite buy Elijah's prophet story, but she is so poor that she has nothing to lose by inviting him in, especially after he promises that neither bread nor oil will run out as long as he's a guest in her house. Now he's exiled, staying in someone else's home and eating at her table, if ever there was a table of grace set out for the widow, for her son, and for the prophet, this would have been the place. She still doesn't buy the God of Israel, but she offered hospitality to a man of a different religion. And because both Elijah and the widow did what God asked of them, the story goes, they got to eat of God's table of grace and survive the terrible drought. And then it comes to a terrific showdown between the queen's fertility priests and Elijah. Up on Mount Carmel, they build two altars, one for Baal and one for the God of Israel. Whichever one catches fire for the sacrificial animals first, their God is the true God. And as you might imagine, the story being in the Hebrew scriptures, the God of Israel wins hands down. Elijah is ecstatic, and after slaying all the priests of Baal, thinks that now the people will hear him and return to God. Instead, Jezebel is furious and puts a bounty on Elijah's head. Elijah escapes into the desert and finds a broom tree. That's the lesson we got this morning. In its shade, he sits down and he mopes. "I've done everything for the God of Israel," he complains. "I have done all you ever asked me to do. And now this, I'm done. I have no desire to be your prophet anymore. You have used me, you have held me over, you have made me the laughingstock of the people. I am done. Find yourself another prophet." And he slumps down and he falls asleep. You know what we've got here? This is not just a personal crisis, a quick bout of depression helped along with some medication. This is a prophet of God having gone absent without official leave. This is a prophet who gives God the walking papers, saying, "Find someone else for the job. I quit." And there is an amazing twist. God doesn't get angry. Like last week with the Israelites in the desert, God doesn't shout at him to get his act together and show up for service. Instead, God lets him sleep and then sets a table for him. A table of mercy, of water and bread in the desert. A table of mercy to assure him that God bears no grudges. For the many, many years now that I have known this story of Elijah, I have thought that every congregation should have a broom tree. A broom tree where frustrated parishioners, disillusioned pastors, exasperated secretaries, exhausted musicians, and bored children can sit down, mope for a while, get some sleep, and wake up to some bread and water. A broom tree with a table of grace next to it, stacked with milk and cookies, some scones and coffee, bread and water, to be able to get up again and continue the journey. A broom tree with a table of grace, which might as well be the table of life. Because this is what Elijah does. After he eats a first time, he just goes back to sleep. But when he's woken again and fed again, he gets up and walks to meet God on the mountain. There, that God whom he has just given the walking papers, the same God who hadn't given up on him at all, gives him new marching orders. Anoint a new king, designate your successor, get yourself ready for yet one more great surprise. 3 tables I have set for you, God tells him. A table of discipline at the brook, a table of grace at the widow's table, and a table of mercy in the desert. But you should not always have to eat alone or among people with whom you do not share a faith. Find your successor, gather some allies, and Israel will find back to me. And until today, Elijah is remembered with such respect and love and fondness among the people of Jewish faith that they keep a seat at the table at all their great meals just in case Elijah returns and join them for dinner. The tables that God sets for Elijah, God also sets for us. Tables when we are hungry, when we are lonely, and when we are exhausted. Even tables when we are absent without official leave. They happen in our homes and in our neighborhoods. They happen at churches and in restaurants. They happen in soup kitchens and at potlucks. Sometimes they might even happen in a booth at Longmire Days. We set them for each other, though the host of the meal is always God. God who sets tables for us each and every day. Tables of discipline, tables of mercy, tables of grace. And all we can do in response is to whisper a quiet thank you for the bread, for the journey that we are allowed to taste each and every day. Amen.
Thank you.
Let's confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Trusting in our loving and almighty God, who abundantly provides the bread of life to all who hunger, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Lord God, we pray for the whole church. Sustain all who have tasted the bread of heaven and found solace in the promise of eternal life. Teach us to forgive one another in love, and build each other up. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Lord God, save and protect your creation. Feed, nourish, and encourage all living creatures. Teach us to practice faithful stewardship. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Lord God, you rule the nations. Lead all people to speak truth and kindness to one another, walking in the paths of justice and peace. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Lord God, we pray for those in need. Comfort those who mourn, encourage the fearful, and tend the sick who we mention before you now. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Lord God, we pray for those gathered here today. Feed us well so that the difficult journey of life may not be too much, and sustain us for those times of trial. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Lord God, we bless you for the lives of those faithful ones who have gone before us. Raise all at the last day, and that we may exalt your name together. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Almighty and loving God, we look to you in hope and trust, knowing that you will do far more than we can ask or imagine, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us exchange a sign of God's peace among us.
Thank you. Do we have an offertory? Recorded?
Love, you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The bread is broken, the wine is poured. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Welcome to the feast.
Thank you. bread for your journey. The body of Christ, bread for your journey. The body of Christ, bread for your journey. The body of Christ, bread for your journey. Body of Christ, bread for your journey. The body of Christ, bread for your journey. Body of Christ, bread for your journey. Body of Christ, bread for your journey. Blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. Will you please rise? The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. O God, as a mother comforts her child, so you comfort your people, carrying us in your arms and satisfying us with this food and drink, the body and blood of Christ. Send us now as your disciples, announcing peace and proclaiming that the reign of God has come near. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.